Good morning, church. Good morning and welcome to the Vines on this beautiful sunny morning. It's a pity it's still a bit cold out there, but let's hope you find the warmth of fellowship and the warmth of God in this place. A special welcome to any visitors or newcomers and those on the internet who may be watching. Welcome to you also. We hope this morning is one where you feel that you have met with God. We walk with God every day of the week. He walks with us, I should say. Whether we choose to acknowledge him is up to us. But he walks with us, he refreshes us, he promises never to leave us alone. So let's stand and worship this God. The river is here. Let's stand and worship our beloved God.
Rushing and the river is here.
Lord Heavenly Father, we come here this morning declaring your amazing love for each and every one of us. We thank you that you walk with us day by day, that your Son Jesus Christ was sent not only to show us how to live, but to give his life for each one of us. We thank you that you sent your Spirit who walks within us and lives within us, that we may know your mind, know your love, know your grace. Lord, none of this we deserve. We understand we're not perfect by a long shot. We understand we have let you down on many occasions, and each other. Lord, we acknowledge the times that we have not spoken up when it needed to be said, when we have walked away instead of stopping, when we have used sharp words when we should have just taken a breath. Those habits, Lord, that you try and teach us to rise above, we've fallen back again. And Lord, we have failed to communicate your love and your grace when opportunities have arisen. And yet, Jesus still died for us. Our slate is clean. Your forgiveness is given. We thank you. You are an amazing God. You walk with us and you reign over all, that we may know you. We thank you.
Holy One, Holy One, O creation.
Lord, how graciously blessed we are. Amen. You may be seated. Welcome once again to worship this morning. You are reminded that there is tea and coffee afterwards, but you will need to sit down if you want to have it inside, or you can go and enjoy the sunshine and fellowship standing outside. So be aware of that. Are there any other notices this morning that I'm unaware of?
Well, let me add my welcome this morning as well. Sam, come down. You've got something to show me, I think. I'll sit on the step here, actually. Bring it down. What is that?
Five
foot. Get closer. Oh, wow. How long did it make you to make that one? Did you follow some instructions or did you have to... You made it out of your imagination? Wow. It's amazing. Can I just hold it up and show everybody? So Sam has made this without any instructions, which is the thing you don't...
My mum made this.
Your mum made that part? Let's just take it up. So Sam's made this from his imagination, everybody. And it's got, so that comes out. And there's a little door there. And we have, has he got a name? I think we might put this up here with the Eiffel Tower, actually. We'll put that up there, leave that up there this morning. So, does that come from a particular brand of Lego, that one? Yeah. Well, I'm a bit of a Lego fan myself. In fact, some of you were following at the Batmobile I was making on Facebook. 3,300 pieces, and it's very fragile, I must admit. This is one of the first ones. So I put, as was put on the front of the newsletter this week, what's the Eiffel Tower got to do with the body of Christ? Well, actually more with Lego. And so the thing about Lego, right? You know how there's all these little dots?
Yeah.
If you get a dot in the wrong spot, does it actually work? If you actually if you get one dot out, if that was over one side, would it look as good? If that was over there, wouldn't look as good with it? No. And we need a nice solid base for the boat to be able to float. It actually floats, really?
Yeah.
Really?
I have this and had it built from underneath and I took apart the Lego set. I normally take apart my Lego sets. That's why I make my creation.
Wow. So, if we think... And it works. So, of course... This bit up the top here, I'm going to take this bit off, is only as good as the rest of it, right?
Yeah.
If that bit's not standing up, and if that bit's not standing up, we're not going to be able to get to do this up the top like that. Of course, when I got here this morning, the thing was in half, so I had to repair it. But so the amazing thing about Lego is that we're, in a sense, a little bit like Lego, because we all fit together, and we're all needed for the thing to actually look as good as it does. So thank you for bringing that today, Sam. We'll actually leave it up here today and people can look at it as we go. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you desire for us to be together, and we thank you that you desire us to fit together as a body. And thank you for Sam bringing his Lego today to show us as well. And we thank you that you love us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Sam. We'll leave that up there for the service, hey? Okay. Thanks, Fiona.
We'll lead now into the prayers of intercession, but also the offering will be brought through. But this is not a song you can sit down. This is the problem. So I'll ask you to stand and join me once again in worship. If you wish to sit, that's fine. God, Heavenly God, all that you share with us, all that you have given us, you choose to be in our lives. You choose to bless us. And Lord, we choose you. We ask for blessings upon the offerings that we bring this morning, upon the gifts that we offer for the community. Lord, we offer also as we stand here ourselves, in whatever capacity we are able, whatever gifting you have given us. Lord, take these offerings, take what we offer and make it what you need it to be for your church, for your people, for your community. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we come with our prayers of intercession today, I felt that I should use as an introduction a prayer from another to set the scene. And so I bring this prayer to you. O Lord, how you conquer, not with a birth in a palace, but with a birth in a manger. Not with a threat to end the world, but with the promise of a new age. Not with a blow from your mighty hand, but with the turn of your cheek. Not with an uprising against your enemies, but with the uplifting of your Son on a cross. Not by filling the graves with rivals you have defeated, but by emptying the tomb of the Son you have defended. Here, the person who brought this prayer gives us a picture of a God, gives us a picture of our God, and we can be thankful. So we pray. Dear God, we come to say thank you for who you are and to rejoice in your love and compassion for all humankind. Indeed, we can never thank you enough for what we have discovered about your care for us. And we come in confidence to bring the prayers of our hearts to you as we share our lives as a church and as individuals in your grace. We pray for this beautiful world of your creation and for the world leaders as they prepare to meet and discuss the concerns of climate change. We are aware that there are many differing considerations, not the least within our own country. So we pray for wise decisions and careful planning. We pray too as the world faces the worries of the COVID epidemic. We are grateful for special planning here, but express our concerns for poorer nations as lack of means forces them to rely on more affluent people. So we pray that there might be compassion towards their care. There is so much to pray about in our own nation. As ever, we pray for those elected to positions of power in federal, state, and local assemblies. Give them wisdom in their tasks, we pray, that we might discern men and women of deep quality at work in their places. We bring our prayers for your church throughout the world In some places we are aware of persecution. In some places we are aware of apathy. In some places we are aware of uncertainties. Please bless your church that it might find its peace in your grace, its fervour in your guidance, and its certainty in your lovely presence. We ask your blessing on our local church as we seek to be your people of love and grace in our community of need. We remember at this time those who are in special need of your care, some ill, some under pressure, some searching. We take this opportunity to whisper their names to you now as we seek to care for them. Hear our prayers for ourselves, we pray. You know us and our needs when sometimes we do not know them ourselves. So we ask for your gentle touch, your insistent goading, your special word, your soothing compassion, as we again commit ourselves to you. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The reading this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, reading from the NRSV version. Unity in the body of Christ. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Adrian, for that. Well read indeed. There's a particular part of this passage which I even get my tongue tied around. So as we come to the word of God today, let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are alive in your word. We pray that you will breathe afresh on us this morning as we look at it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. We're continuing on with our series on our core values here at the Vines. And last week, he and Kiddo spoke from the 1 Peter passage on the gifts and talents provided by the Spirit and how these gifts, when used collaboratively, when the body of Christ here at the Vines, will lead to a wonderful experience of community empowerment. I particularly love the image of the V formation of the geese and how they empower and protect each other. It is this image I want to add on to this morning. I'm wondering, as Adrian read the Ephesians passage earlier to us today, what were some of the key words? What were some of the words that people picked out from the passage? To shell them out, any key words? One? Anyone else? Unity? Anyone else? Grace? Grateful. Well, Paul certainly does emphasise those points. And yes, as Adrian said, the word one features quite prominently in this passage. In fact, it's mentioned 7 times as it describes 7 different attributes of the Christian life and faith. One. One in the context of who we are as part of the body of Christ within the community here at the Vines. As we contemplate this word one, we have an opportunity to consider this word afresh as we continue to discover who we are in the context of the Vines community. For in our oneness, we are also very diverse and uniquely gifted. And as Ian said, we all have at least one gift. And it is this full embracing of this uniqueness which the empowering nature of the Holy Spirit will continue to mature in us. So the invitation this morning, as a community made up of uniquely gifted people, to consider afresh this concept of oneness within the body of Christ. Before we dive into the passage, some background context. Paul's visit to Ephesus can be found in Acts 19. Ephesus was the epicenter, in fact, of worship for the Greek and Roman gods. And despite this, Paul had a very effective ministry for around 2 years there, establishing a church and followers of Christ. Years later, around 62 AD, when Paul was in prison near the end of his ministry, he wrote this letter. There are 2 clear sections to this letter. The first 3 chapters talk about God's amazing love for us. Just read chapter 1 and put your name in there and you'll see what I mean. Particularly shown through the death and resurrection of Jesus and through his work, we are children of the kingdom. Guaranteed, right now, an inheritance for all eternity. Through God's grace, we are forgiven people, free to be fully alive and free in Christ, whether Jew or Gentile. But Paul concludes this section with the well-known prayer in chapter 3, 14-21, when he proclaims, "For this reason I fall down on my knees before the Father, from which heaven and earth derive its name." Now, Paul could have left it at this point. Encouragement indeed. But as he describes who we are in Christ in chapters 1-3, he now goes on to provide guidance on how we are to live as Christians. In other words, to live in freedom only Christ can bring. For with great freedom comes great responsibility. To live out this freedom not only in our households, but also within the body of Christ, in whatever part of the world we may be in. Paul commences chapter 4 as a prisoner in the Lord, which before we go any further provides a great deal of inspiration and guidance for us. As he declares in Philippians 1:14, Paul very much saw his suffering as nothing. Nothing when compared to the incredible work and incredible opportunities Christ was still able to do through him, through his circumstances. It is very much the circumstances that makes verses 1-3 even more compelling. Therefore, the prisoner in the Lord beg you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the spirit of this unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. You will know some key words in here: humility, gentleness, patience, peace, which are some of the fruits of the Spirit that Paul goes on to talk about in Galatians 5. Also, the bearing of each other in love, which Paul so comprehensively defines in 1 Corinthians 13. Love never fails. Never fails. Always perseveres. Never gives up and will remain constant for all time. Like God's love for us. If that was not a compelling enough reason, he goes on in verses 4 to 6 to explain why we need to display these attributes. And it is these verses the word one is used many times. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is Father of all. This would have been quite a revelation, even heretical, to the city of Ephesus, who believed and worshipped many gods. We are all part of one body. This is what Paul refers to in 1 Corinthians 12 as every part being important. All are needed for the body to function as it should. This body is empowered by one spirit. And it is through this empowerment we work towards the one hope, the one hope we have in Jesus, as our one Lord, as we bring light to the world around us. We are inspired and empowered by our one unwavering hope through faith in the one God, who was accepted when we asked Jesus, God's one and only Son, into our lives. We confirm this one hope when we were baptized into God's one family. One. This oneness is not based on human qualities. In this world of ours, even though we talk about diversity and inclusiveness, there is still an unwritten set of rules and laws about who decides who is in. I mean, really in, and who is out. Although it is never really said, why are there still marginalised people in communities who often have no say on whether they are in or out? But the church, and we are the church, are called to be different. As followers of Jesus, the command is not to decide who is in or out. We are all in. After all, as stated in Genesis 1, we are all made in the image of God. We have Jesus living within us. So in essence, to deny another is to deny Jesus, God's one and only Son who lives within. This makes our interactions with each other critical as we make every effort to continue to be humble, gentle and patient, fostering a culture of peace. But there is more to this passage than just being accepting of each other, and the wonderful quality of the next few verses takes in our uniqueness as together we make up and complete the body of Christ. And this is to do with gifts given by the Son through the Spirit. Verses 7 to 10 have been difficult to understand. I'll just read them out again to you. Adrian read them so well, actually, but I'll have another go at it. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives. He gave gifts to his people. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself so he might fill all things. There are a number of interpretations of these verses 7-10, which actually some of this comes from Psalm 68. And after looking into it a little bit more, the following sequence of steps seems to be logical, particularly in the context of spiritual gifts, which Paul goes on to emphasize later. The basis of distribution of spiritual gifts is through God's grace. As no one can earn God's grace, neither can anyone earn gifts. It is totally up to God and his grace. After his resurrection, Jesus ascended back into heaven. As Jesus declared to his disciples in John 16:7, he needed to ascend or to go away in order for the Holy Spirit to come. At Pentecost, the promised Holy Spirit descended, bowing gifts on the believers like tongues of fire. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit and God's grace, gives gifts to his people. Jesus, who ascended back to the Father, also descended and lives amongst us. He understands what it means to be fully human. Jesus now sits at the right hand of the Father and empowers his people. In essence, the takeaway from this passage is spiritual gifts are freely given to whoever God chooses to fulfill his purposes. It was necessary for Jesus to ascend to heaven, but then descend through his Spirit for these gifts to be imparted. And it is through the Spirit God empowers and mobilizes his people to use their gifts. But this brings us back to the question of how our individual uniqueness contributes to the body of Christ. As Paul states in 1 Corinthians 12, we are all one body with many parts. And as an eye sees, a hand touches, and a nose smells, and so on, it is that God empowers each of us through the gifts he provides for the body to fully function. If we do not utilize our gifts, nor our extended grace to exercise and explore our gifts, the body and the mission God has prepared in advance for the body to do will be compromised. A body cannot function as well when all parts are not working together. What is the picture we can use here? When we look at the Eiffel Tower, and in fact it's Sam's thing as well, Lego models are an incredible feat of engineering and design. Everything culminates in a little piece at the top here that brings the whole thing together. But without everything underneath, it's just going to fall apart. In fact, there was a previous Eiffel Tower that did fall apart. It wasn't as designed as well as this one. Every piece, every dot, every angle is significant. When the piece is just one dot out, the model does not work quite as well. In fact, it probably won't work at all. The graceful bit at the top is only as good as the framework that leads up to the top. And when you take a step back and look at it, beautiful, graceful, and strong. Beauty, grace, and strength are at the center of God's design for his body. We are the light to point to his Son, Jesus. And this will only happen, as Paul argues, if all of our individual spirit-empowered giftedness works together. As Ian shared with us last week, there are three lists of spiritual gifts in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and in the Ephesians passage today. Paul in verses 11 to 12 lists what is referred to as the fivefold gifts: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And certainly in the Uniting Church, it's one of the measures to assess candidates for ordained ministry. These gifts are given by Christ. There are two components to these gifts. Pastors and teachers are to build up the body of Christ, to maintain, nurture, and support, and empower us to do the same. An inward function for gifts. But what is of equal importance is is preparing God's people for services in mission. As we reach out to the local community and beyond, evangelists, prophets, and apostles, an outward function for gifts. Gifts are for the maintenance of the body of Christ, but also a missional aspect for outreach and mission. It is when both of these aspects are of equal importance that the church will be able to reach out effectively to the world community around it from the solid basis of all members using their gifts. This reaching out will also lead to a strengthening of the body as it witnesses and experiences the empowerment of God, or as Paul states in verse 13, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. This is a beautiful picture of a fully functioning and effective Christian community. A community where we, who are all individually gifted and empowered by the Spirit, contribute to the whole Christian community as God leads us his mission to our part of the world. We all have a part to play here. We all have a part to play here at the Vines. By continuing to use our gifts and to extend grace to those who are discovering and exploring theirs, we will continue our journey towards maturity and knowledge of the fullness of Christ, who is the head of the body, as we reach out to those around us. I know for me, I want to be part, an active part of a body, and to be an active part of what God is doing in his world, as I'm sure we all want to be in our own way. Fulfilling the command of Jesus in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. An effective, God-empowered, Christ-centered community and part of the larger body of Christ. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you've brought us here this morning. We thank you that we don't come out of habit. We come because we want to be here. We know what it means to be part of the body. We know what it means to know that you're empowering us and strengthening in us and encouraging us. Lord, may you continue us on our journey into the maturity of Christ as he calls and beckons us to follow him. Father God, thank you that you go before us in everything that we do. And we thank you that you call us to be part of your mission to this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Trevor. I'd just like to remind you all also that if you would like some prayer this morning, or feel you need to talk about some of the things that that have been preached about recently, then please come to the front seat and one of the elders will be with you. And if you're online and you feel that same need, I encourage you to find someone you know whom you trust in their faith to also speak with them and ask for prayer, or one of the elders. But let's conclude our worship with one of the great hymns declaring this amazing God, who has set this church in place and given us his Spirit and called us to be unified. Let's stand. And Can It Be?
Thank you.
peace, and the God of all grace will himself make you strong and firm and steadfast. And stay united in the uniqueness you are in the body of Christ. To him be the power and the glory forever. Amen.